In our readings this morning, both masterfully read, St. Paul and Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, each pour out something of tremendous value. For Mary, it was expensive perfume and her dignity at the feet of Jesus. For Paul, it was his confidence in his achievements and his whole life for the call of God in Christ Jesus. These are amazing, but not unusual stories. Read through the Bible just about anywhere, and you'll find a story of a faith hero who poured out something significant for God willingly and out of love. It can be a little intimidating. Those people are larger than life. Moses leaves luxury for solidarity with the suffering. David refuses to take King Saul's life, though his own was in danger. Deborah led with uncommon courage. Mary, the mother of Jesus, loses her son. Stephen, the martyr, loses his life. We're glad for inspirational stories, though they can seem distant from our lives, about which there's usually little that resembles larger-than-life heroism. Most days, we're doing well to just get to tonight. Changing the world can wait until tomorrow, and it can wait for someone else. A faithful life is usually less about the dramatic moments than it's sometimes made out to be. And it's more about the day-to-day than sometimes it's made out to be. And yet we have to be careful about thinking small. If we're not careful, a small and limited, tight-fisted spirit can slither in. It comes with a slippery question. What's the least that I can put into this and get out of it okay? It's not a question that often rises to the consciousness or to our lips in polite company, much less pious company. But it's one that still hangs around in the dark corners of our minds. What's the least I can do here? A man on the street walks up to you outside the restaurant. Can you help me out? What's the least I can do to get out of this situation? Church building campaign gets going. It's time to raise some money. What's the least I can do to still be supportive? It's time for volunteers at the PTA or the church or anywhere else. What's the least I can do to fulfill my obligations? Parenting when you're frustrated. Washing dishes when you're tired. Being kind when you're hurt. A certain kind of spiritual rut takes shape. What's the least amount of energy I can give to meet the minimum expectations? And to be sure, there's a certain logic to it. Sometimes the minimum itself is a stretch. Life pulls us in so many directions. There comes to be a calculation about how much to give to one thing to keep everything else going from morning to night, from one paycheck to the next owed bill. From one moment of breathing space to the next deadline. I remember after school, jumping out of the car in the driveway to go inside, looking back at Mom, just still sitting in the car, in the sunlight, hands still grasping the wheel. Knock on the window. Mom, you okay? Come on inside. Unsaid. And make me a snack. She'd wave us off, eyes closed. You two go on in. I'm just going to sit here for a while in the sun and the silence. Weird, right? This made no sense to me at all. It does now. There is a consistency that depends on steady, measured attention to our affections and desires. even when those affections and desires are really, really good things. Daily, we run headlong into the question inherent to human finitude: what can I do here with limited resources? It's a fair question. And of a different order than, what's the least I can do? An overwhelming response from those who were intimately in the presence of Jesus was that limitations and reluctances are very real things. But in the presence of Jesus, they were just shattered. Mary's perfume was wildly expensive, but not worth saving a day longer than this day for the purpose of blessing Jesus with his death imminent. Paul's life was resoundingly successful, but was forgettable, he thought, compared to the joy of knowing Christ. Mary pours out perfume on the feet of Jesus. All four gospel writers tell the story in one way or another, recollecting in some detail the jar of perfume, how expensive it was, how extravagant, how lavish this act. Lavish and questionable. Who pours out expensive perfume like this? You dab perfume, right? You use it sparingly. You save as much of it as you can. What is the least amount of this I can use to get the benefit without wasting it? But that wasn't her question on that day. And so take what you rely on. Your prize resource, that which you cling to, and hold it in your hands, and then break it open and anoint Jesus with it. Like bread at the altar, break it open. With Mary, empty it and anoint Jesus' feet. Paul's life poured out is the word picture of perfume spilled on Jesus' feet. Recite all the things about your life that any Enneagram 3 would find admirable and valuable. Hold it up there into the light. All the accomplishments, the prizes, the victories and successes, the things you're proud of. And then take them all and pour them out as anointing on Jesus' head, like oil running down his head, down his beard, down the robe and the hem of his robe. Pour them out like wine at the altar. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Like bread broken, like wine poured, are the lives of those who risk something big for something good. In the face of sacred limitations and nefarious reluctances, the good news is that there's something worth giving your wildly precious life to. Someone worthy of your whole life, your days and your dollars, your sweat and your tears, your heart and your mind and your soul and your play and your work. Not everything is, though many shiny things and loud things claim to be. But Jesus is. Mary grasped this with her whole being, her precious treasure poured out, her hair loose hanging over her face, his feet soon to be pierced, cradled in her hands. Paul sees this as he looks back over a life he left behind to follow Jesus and end up in prison. Jesus is worthy of all I am and all I have. I gladly surrender all. The emphasis isn't on all. The emphasis is on gladly. There are other pursuits. There are other demands. There are other paths and temptations, but he alone is worthy. That changes everything. Goodness knows, in the ears of the exhausted, the call to give it all to Jesus can sound like moralistic, guilt-inducing, heavy-laden piety. But what if instead it is invitation we need to hear to lose ourselves and finally then find ourselves? If Paul's words and Mary's act demonstrate anything about the character of Christian living, giving it all is giving out of joy where there are no calculations, just love. Christians can be and often are inspired by an inner joy that inspires self-giving love for something they could get away with doing a whole lot less if they wanted. Sunday school teacher sits up on Saturday night trying to get her lesson just right. She really believes that the children the next morning may have their lives changed by this lesson. And she wants to reach their hearts and minds with goldfish and felt boards and the gospel story. She's not asking what is the least, but what can I do and how can I do it to share the good news with these kids? She loves it. A family is grieving the loss of a loved one and they are torn apart. Their friends show up with the sacrament of casseroles and encouragement and prayer, and they stay, and they aren't asking what is the least, but what can I do to shoulder the pain of my friend? We can think of many examples of people in our lives who went the distance and it made all the difference. Saints, martyrs, teachers, and neighbors, and even strangers. There was once a Samaritan, you might recall. They are people whose witness to the gospel helps us love Jesus. We are living in times that may demand more from any of us, and in ways that we never imagined, demand peacemaking and hope and patience and truth-telling, humility, sacrifice. These Lenten days are not just dates on a liturgical calendar shaded purple. And love and joy and open-handedness may be what saves your life. The scandal of the gospel still holds true. If you hoard your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you save it. How can this be? This giving out of love and joy is taking place all around us every day. College professors grinding to help their students love a truth that can anchor their lives. Food kitchen servers working with arthritic hands to spoon love made delicious onto plates that would otherwise be empty, into bellies that might be too. Daddies and mommies on their knees praying for their babies, even their big babies. In this final stretch of Lent and of Jesus' life, the cross looms. Its shadow lies across the landscape of the liturgy and also of our lives. and of all the notes of Isaac Watts' hymn. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What to leave behind, what to take up, what to break and pour out, to forgive, to reconcile, to give, work, pray, love, and carry one another, to let our lives be broken open and poured out lavishly in love for God in Jesus Christ. Your soul, your life, your all, is the perfume filling the room of Christ's final days. It is the incense that is the prayer of the saints rising in the heavenly throne room. It is the bread and wine of the body of Christ, the gifts of the earth, and our labor given in gratitude to God, shared with all who hunger and thirst. It is the knee bending at the name of the one who poured out his life, lowered himself to death, even death on a cross. He is worthy of our soul, our life, and all in all. Amen.